Hallelujah. The title of today's message is Time. Yep. We could have someone come up and start singing the Steve Miller Band song. Or Rolling Stones or Pink Floyd or all the different songs that come to your mind when you hear the word time. But I just want to read to you a few definitions out of the dictionary about time. The indefinite continued progress of existence. Let me say it again. Time. The indefinite continued progress of existence. And another definition is a point of time, like 9:30, we're going to be here at 10 o'clock or whatever, there's a point of time measured in hours and minutes and seconds and moons and stars. And all right, there's a time allotted. I'm going to give a certain amount of time to Bible study. I'm going to give a certain amount of time, a time allotted to prayer. And then this whole thing in music and dancing, time. It's a rhythmic pattern. Time and timing. One, two, three, one, two, three, one, two, three. So we have these different definitions of time. Amen? Really impressed this week about time. All week long, time kept coming up and cycling through my mind. And so I really began to become aware that I felt like this is what God wants me to preach on, time. And so I just wanted to bring up some of my thoughts and some of the situations where time is a factor. How many are aware of time being a factor when you're in a trial? When you're in a trial, remember Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness for a time of trial and testing and temptation by the devil. And it was for a specific time. 40 days, all right? How many think that Jesus was aware of the time that he was in? He was led by the Spirit, all right? Dispensations are time frames. Dispensations, there was a time of creation. And then there was a time of Noah. Then there was a time of Moses and the law, right? And then when Jesus came, it became a new dispensation or a new time. You've heard it called the dispensation of grace. Amen. When Jesus came, it's now the time frame of the church dispensation. Jesus came and the church was birthed. There's a dispensations or time frames. How many believe that Jesus is coming back?
Yes.
A new dispensation. Yes. Jesus is coming back. The Bible says that there'll be a new heaven and new earth. A new dispensation. Hallelujah. And I'm not sure time will be relevant in that dispensation. Amen. Hallelujah. You'll be worshiping for 1,000 years and you won't even know it's 1,000 years.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Nobody will look at their watch in heaven.
Praise God. You won't be any.
That's exactly right. It's hard for us to... It's hard for us to comprehend, isn't it? We're so, especially in the United States of America, we're really focused on clocks and times and watches. And we're really, I mean, it's not limited to us, but it's really obvious in my life, and in especially people have to punch time clocks, you know what I mean? That we are really controlled by the clock, aren't we? All right, another area where time is a factor. God's promise. All right, we're going to look at a couple scriptures, but I want to ask you, has God ever made you a promise? Have you ever gone forward at a church service or at a worship service or at a meeting, and there was someone who said, I feel like God is telling you this. This and this is going to happen. It's called prophecy, maybe. Have you ever had that happen to you? Has God ever made you a promise? Time becomes a factor when God has made you a promise. How about God's judgment? Time becomes a factor with God's judgment. All right, we're going to look at a few scriptures. And then, of course, there's the Ecclesiastes 3. For everything, there's a season, there's a time to be born, there's a time to die, there's a time to plant, there's a time to pluck up. Go ahead and, for your note takers, just look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, a time to dance. Time to cast away stones, to gather stones. To embrace, to refrain from embracing. To get, to loose, to keep, to cast away, to rend, to sow. To keep silent, to speak, to love, to hate, to war, and of peace. These are all time frames, amen? Seasons. Okay, first thing that we become aware of when we start to look at time is, guess what? God's time is not necessarily our time. And we're going to look at some of these things. God's promise. God made a promise. God said that he was going to do something. What about judgment for that person? 2 Peter 3:8. But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as a thousand years. And a thousand years is one day. And I don't know if you've ever heard this. I heard a guy do this once in a song. He was up there tuning his guitar, and he started to say, Lord, I heard it said that a day with you is as a thousand years, and a thousand years is a day. He says, is that right? And the Lord said, yes, it is. And then he goes, well, Lord, how about, is a penny like $1 million? And the Lord, and $1 million like a penny? He goes, sure. And then he goes, Lord, could I have a penny? And he said, yep, and you have to wait a minute. So I probably didn't say it just right, but you get the idea. 2 Peter 3:9a. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness. Okay? God is not slow. Some people are going, God, where are you? And we're considering him slow or slack. All right? So that's, again, God's perspective versus our perspective. And so there's something that we're going to be challenged with, time. When we start to investigate time, when you start to look into time, when you start to look into God's promises and what is God doing in your life, we're going to encounter some challenges. The challenges of time, we're the ones who seem to struggle with time. God is never struggling with time. Whenever you look at a situation where you're starting to fret, you're starting to worry, you're starting to become anxious, we heard a testimony about time this morning. There was a time issue. And we are the ones who tend to wrestle with time. God, we need to rest assured. We're going to pick up where we left off last week with the attributes of God. We're trying to know God more. If God is asking us to trust him, if God is drawing us into a deeper relationship, we need to know him more. We're going to get to know him more. There's one thing that we're going to get, one of his attributes that we're going to realize about God is he is not sweating time. He's not worried about time. He's not sitting on the edge of the throne looking at his watch. Okay, time. Some of the things that we're learning about time and the challenges of understanding about time. How many believe time can be a gift? We're on this earth, and God has given us time. Amen? The time is different today than it was in Adam's day, right? There was no sin, there was no fall, and man just lived. But then the fall came, and then death entered in, sin entered in, and then later on in Noah's time, man just did whatever was right in his own eyes, was perpetually going his own way and going astray. And God said, look it, I'm not going to strive with you guys forever. You're not going to live to 1,000 years anymore. Your days are going to become numbered. You and I have become aware of time from when we're born until... How many believe that God knows the number of your days?
Amen.
From the time before the foundation of the world, he knew the number of your days.
Hallelujah.
Time. Starting and stopping points are going to become very important for you and I to understand these times and seasons. 1 Samuel 3:12. In that day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. That I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Remember, we're studying the book of Samuel on Wednesday nights. God was beginning a new thing. We're talking about a new season. What on earth is God doing? Behold, I will do a new thing. The difficulty is when we can't discern starting and stopping points, we carry from the old into the new. God says, when I do a new thing, when I start something new, I will also make an end.
Hallelujah.
He's ending the last dispensation. It's not all muddy. How many of you would be enjoying this nice July day right now if it was snowing? Because winter just didn't know when to end. The seasons have starting and stopping points. God has ordered this perfectly since the book of Genesis. He said, I will give the stars and the moon as times and indications of seasons. And everything since he's made it, because he's the great uplifter and holds all things together by the might of his mighty hand, he's able to hold us together. He is able to make winter stop when winter's supposed to stop. You and I, if we can't discern when the last season is, remember Jesus was brought into by the Spirit into the wilderness for the 40 days. When the 40 days was over, God made an end. He didn't bring it into the next season or the next time frame. There was starting and stopping points.
Right.
And we have to recognize God is the one who begins a new thing, and God will put an end. If you are in a season of trial, if you are in a season of temptation, if you are in a test, the saying is true, there is light at the end of the tunnel. This too shall pass, for I will make an end, says the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And if it seems, if you're on day 20 and you're in a 40-day trial, and it seems like there'll be no end, there will be an end, but don't try to end it. It's like, I'm good, I'm out of here now, I'm done with this. Don't end it before God ends it. Allow yourself to engage completely in the 40-day trial or test. Amen? Because if you bug out at day 20, it hasn't been mission accomplished. What the Lord has desired to accomplish in that time frame will not be accomplished. So completely engage. And it's difficult for us to engage completely if we're afraid, will God come through? Is this for the rest of my life or whatever? You know, we have to trust the Lord, that the Lord is able to start and stop something.
Hallelujah.
Amen? Engage with the season, Psalm 119, verse 148. My eyes are awake through the night watches that I may meditate on your word. How many have some sleep deprivation? How many have some awake times? Look at it. If you're awake in the night, then how about meditate on God's word? Use the time. Engage with the season. David was engaging with the season, the night watch. He was there. There was a time frame when he was awake and he was using it wisely. He was using his time. Amen? Don't be a time waster. God has given us this gift of time. We have 120 years here. Let's spend it wisely. And listen, trouble comes when we're not engaged with the season or fail to recognize the starting and stopping points. 2 Samuel 11. It happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him. I don't hear David accompanying, and David being the king should have accompanied Joab. But David remained in Jerusalem. I want you to know, when we are not engaging in the time that God has called us to engage with, trouble comes. Because look what happened. David was not where he belonged, and next thing you know, he's gazing at a beautiful woman on a roof, and all this stuff happens. Okay? Be completely engaged with and recognize starting and stopping points. The stopping point of the king being at home in the comforts of his palace was over. It was time for him to go to war. He didn't cooperate with the starting and stopping points of time. Amen? And he found himself in trouble. On the other hand, David, when he's after the negative consequences of all that, how many remember that David lost his child? Okay, there was a child born as a result of all that, and he ended up losing the child. And he was mourning while the child was on its deathbed. He was fasting and hoping that God might change his mind. But when David and Samuel, 2 Samuel 12:19, when David saw his servants whispering, he knew that the baby was dead, so he asked them, "Is the baby dead?" They answered, "Yes, he is dead." Then David got up from the floor, washed himself, put on lotions, changed his clothes, went to the Lord's house to worship. After that, he went home and asked for something to eat. And his servants gave him some food. There's starting and stopping points in life. There's a time to mourn. How many people know someone who's been injured? How many know someone who's had something traumatic or tragic happen in their life, and they're carrying it with them decades later? Decades later. How many believe that losing a child is traumatic, a tragedy? It's unimaginable for me. And here we have an example of a man of God, a man who was after God's own heart, a man who understood his God and knew his God. How many know someone who something tragic has happened to them and they've turned their back on God? They've run from God because God did something mean, because God didn't come through. It's God's fault. David stood himself up, washed himself, and went to worship. He went to God. Something terrible happened. He didn't run from God. He didn't blame God. He worshiped God because he was knowing his God. He's trusting and believing his God. That God's perception and what God is doing, God is in control.
He's still in control.
He's still in control. Even when something terrible happens. And we're going to talk about this in the future. Hallelujah. Challenges of time. Jesus challenged us to recognize the seasons. In the Gospel of Matthew chapter 2. He turned and answered them and said, When it's evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul for the sky is red and lowering. Ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. God gave signs of the times. Remember, natural points to spiritual. God gave the stars and the moon and all these indications so that you and I can start to understand that there are times and seasons, not just in the physical realm, but also in the spiritual. And that leads us to the discussion of dispensations. Because they're saying, Jesus is coming and announcing. Look at the end. We are now ushering in the last days. I'm here. Jesus, the Son of God, has shown up. He's on earth, and it's the beginning of the last days. And people were living as if nothing had changed. They didn't realize that there was a stopping point. God was making an end to the old covenant. He was beginning anew. There's a whole group of people out there who have never believed that God made an end to the old covenant yet. They're still operating in the old covenant. That's overlapped. There, a new covenant was begun when Jesus came and he was crucified, resurrected, and sitting at the right hand of the Father, ushering in the opportunity for everyone to be in a right standing relationship with God.
Yes, Lord.
The new covenant.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
And how many are heartbroken by watching the world race around you and there's no awareness of the times and seasons? I'll never forget this vision that I had. I have a prayer walk. This was when I was in Vermont. But I walk and pray. And how many love that place of communion with the Lord? How many love that experience of in the body or out of the body? You cannot tell. I can walk that street still blindfolded. I walked it so many times, I know every bump, every corner. I can walk it blindfolded because a lot of times my eyes were closed or it was in the middle of the night. I can walk the road and know where I am, but I'm in glory.
Hallelujah.
And I saw this vision. It was of a sidewalk. Millie, you've seen sidewalks. You live in a place where there's people. Busy. It was like a New York City sidewalk, and there was people shoulder to shoulder, all going different ways, and briefcases and hats, and they're all just moving. They're all very busy, and this look on their face, it was so intense that they had to get where they were going. And then I zoomed out of the sidewalk, and the sidewalk was a giant conveyor belt, and they were all going on this conveyor belt over into a pit of flames. And my heart was crushed. Tears just started falling down my face because they were all caught up in, they had no awareness of the times and seasons. They could determine whether they could punch in on time. They can know about the times and whether it's going to rain by looking at the sun or what time the clubs are going to open. But there was no awareness of what was going on God's calendar and God's agenda. He gave us the ability to recognize times and seasons in the natural so that we will, as believers, have a perception of the urgency, the day that we live in, that we'll not be caught on the sidelines. We will not get caught up in their time frame, in their busyness. Amen? The busyness of the world. Because the world is attempting to conform us. But Paul the Apostle says, be ye not conformed. Hallelujah. God's timing and judgment. How hard is it to wait for God to punish evil? Have you ever been in a situation where you see evil, you know evil, and you're waiting, you longing, you want God to put an end to it? You want God to step in, and he's not stepping in. He's not stepping in. He's not stepping in. What happens when God doesn't step in? Remember John the Baptist. He's in prison. And there's things that go through our minds. There are doubts start to enter in. How many believe that demonic forces are out there trying to stimulate our doubts and sometimes we can come into agreement with that. God, Jesus, send me a sign. Is that really you? Are you really the one? When I declared that, behold, the Lamb of God, I knew it by revelation. I knew it by the Spirit. But was I right? Have you ever been in that position where you're waiting for God to step in? We have to continually go back to the understanding that God is not in the same time frame that you and I are. We are declaring in our mind that this is an emergency. God needs to show up now. My brother is dying. My daughter is dying. Jesus, you need to get here now. But we serve a God that is not limited or rushed by our finite way of thinking or our finite circumstances. Death is a finite circumstance in the light of eternity. In God's kingdom, death is a finite thing. In our mind, my brother's dying. Jesus, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. It's a finite thing. Lazarus, come forth. The resurrection and the life is eternal. God's not worried about time like you and I are worried about time. Put yourself in the position of 6 million Jews in the concentration camps. God, where are you? God, are you sleeping? And how many can hear the devil's mocking and all the people around mocking that if God were real, that these things wouldn't happen? Why bad stuff happens? And why it's allowed to go on for so long, as we're talking about time. I don't know why bad stuff happens. But I do know that there's going to be an end to bad stuff happening. This dispensation is going to come to an end. And there will be a time when God will wipe away every tear. There's going to be a time where there'll be no sickness, no disease. We're coming into a new dispensation. While we're in this dispensation, when evil is running rampant, when atrocities are all over covering the news, that we can be comforted that God sees it, He knows about it, He cares, and He will step in when it's time to step in. We don't understand. We have a finite mind. We can't see like God sees. But God knows what He's doing. He knows how long to withhold, and He knows when to come in like a flood and scatter the enemies or bring judgment. Second Peter chapter 3, the second part of verse 9 says, but God is patient. He does not want anyone to be lost, but He wants all people to change their hearts and lives. 2 Peter 3:9. How many have seen evil and you don't believe there's any hope for that situation? That person is just too bad. But I want you to know that with God, all things are possible. I don't care how evil the person is, there is hope. And if God is not coming in like a flood with judgment, evidently God feels like He needs to give them more time to repent. He doesn't want them to be lost for eternity. He's given them more time. I'm going to read you a quick little story. It's a little bit lighter than what we've been talking about, but it's kind of cute. Did you hear about the farmer who agreed to a contest with his neighbor, an atheist? The atheist said, tell you what, you plant your crops and work your fields for 6 days a week, taking Sundays off to worship God, and I'll work in my field for 7 days a week, and in the fall we'll see who has the biggest crop. When October came and the crops were gathered in, the atheist dropped by to see the results. Sure enough, his harvest was larger than the Christians. How many hate that? I wanted the Christian to win! Okay, remember time. "What do you say now?" sneered the atheist. The Christian replied, "God does not always settle his accounts in October." In our mind, we think, obviously, this. But God has a bigger plan.
Hallelujah.
How many believe that in the day that that atheist and that Christian are meeting in glory, that the Christian is going to have the bigger harvest? Amen. Now, on the other side, let's take this personally now, God and his judgment. How many have done something wrong, or you're tempted to do something wrong, and somehow you come into agreement with that temptation, you do it, and you're waiting for the lightning bolt? You're just like, "Is he going to strike me dead now?" And it doesn't happen. We've heard Kenneth Copeland talk about this. When he was a little boy, the mother said, "Don't spit." He gets outside of his mother's view, and he spit on the sidewalk, and he waited for a lightning bolt. God didn't strike him with a lightning bolt as a little boy. Next thing you know, he's strutting down the sidewalk, spitting every bit of saliva that he could muster up. That's human nature. If we don't get struck with a lightning bolt the first time we do something wrong, we develop a confidence in doing something wrong. Okay? We're reading 1 Samuel now. How many remember the story of 1 Samuel? Eli was the priest and he had two sons. There was corruption in the house of God in those days. Eli saw it. He allowed his sons to sleep with the woman at the gate, steal food, do all kinds of stuff. And how many, if you were in that situation and saw it happening, how many of you would be frustrated? How many would you say, "They're getting away with murder here? Is there a God? If they can do it, why don't I? Why am I so worried about holiness? Why am I so worried about walking this walk that is so challenging and so difficult? Everybody else does whatever they want. They're not getting struck dead." God comes in when it's time. And how many of you believe a prophet came, a word of God came, and both of those sons dropped dead the same day in a battle? And so did their father. So does God always do that? If evil happens, is he always going to wipe somebody out in front of you? It's like, how many believe in dispensations? It may not happen in your lifetime. It may not happen in you, in the viewing of your eyes or when you want it to happen. But we need to be able to rest assured that God is just and nobody's getting away with anything. He's giving them an opportunity to repent, but evidently it was time. The time ended. And so you and I, if we're getting away with something over an extended period of time, be careful. You don't know when God says enough is enough. It's now is the time. Whatever happens, happens. He may allow us to reap the negative consequences of bad decisions or whatever it is. Sin will find you out. However, whatever happens, happens. But there's mercy. There's a time of mercy, but then comes a time of judgment. And if it's not in this lifetime, we will stand before the judge. You never get away with anything. Amen? So, hallelujah. Onward, Christian soldiers. How many believe that waiting is hard? As soon as you talk about time, waiting on the Lord comes into play. Psalm 37:7 says, "Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him." I looked up the original language and shared it with you all before, I'm sure. "Rest in the Lord and writhe in pain as in travail of giving birth." That's the wait. Writhe in pain as in travail of giving birth. Patiently.
Wow.
Yeah. "Writhe in pain as in travail of giving birth, patiently for him." Waiting is difficult. I can only imagine a mother who's been pregnant at at month 7 or month 8 and a half, whatever it is, the waiting, there must be like, hurry up, come out now. You know what I mean? There's a stopping point. God puts an end to one thing and he begins a new thing. Hallelujah. Waiting is hard. As I mentioned, the people that were under the thumb of evil, for them to wait and live underneath that oppression of corruption must be hard. People who were thrown in prison. How many know that there are Christians who are thrown in prison for their faith? When is it going to be over? They're being tortured. When will it end? Waiting is hard. Not only waiting, but waiting and being faithful. Waiting and standing. Waiting and bringing the kingdom. Paul and Silas were in prison, and they were worshiping and praising God. They were engaged with the season. They were in prison from this time to this time, but they were able to release the kingdom where they were because they were engaged with the season. They weren't sitting there going, I can't wait to get out of prison. I can't wait to get out of prison. I can't wait to get out of prison. Wasting their time, waiting to do something else. But they were engaged with the season that they were in and able to be available to God where they were.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
How about waiting for a promise?
Yes.
Everybody can remember Abraham and Sarah, Genesis chapter 12, verse 2. I will make you a great nation. Genesis 15, 5. Then he brought him outside and said, look toward the heaven and count the stars if you're able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. God making a promise. Has God made you a promise that is beyond your ability to imagine? Are you believing for a future? Are you believing for a promised land? Are you believing for your destiny? Are there Goliaths in the way? Are there Amorites in the way? Are there Hivites in the way and Hittites and all these obstacles? And you're wondering, when, Lord, when? Look to God. Look to history. Look to God's faithfulness. How many believe that God made promises to Israel and he has fulfilled many of them? And if he's fulfilled many of them, how many believe he's going to still fulfill the promises he made to Israel? Israel is not without hope. God made a promise to Israel and he will live up. He's the upholder of his word and his promise.
Yes.
And just like he can promise a nation, he can promise you. He promised a nation a destiny. He promised a nation a land. And he will fulfill that. And if he's able to do it for a nation, he's able to do it for you.
Amen.
And your family,
yes.
Your loved ones, your town. All right, I'm closing now. Understanding time is a valuable tool. It's a tool. We're getting to know God and his attributes, but we're also looking at what God has provided us with to be successful in bringing the kingdom. And have you ever considered that little pouch in the side of your toolbox that says time? God's time. Time is a gift to you and to me. Understand time as a tool. When we come to the place where we realize God's timing is not always our timing, but his ways are far above our ways, and that his time has starting and stopping points, and that God gave these seasons, and that he wants us to be able to recognize the season that we're in, that nobody's getting away with anything, no matter how hard it is to wait, it's vitally important that we wait on the Lord. Then, when we realize these things, we're going to be stumbling a lot less when the devil comes along and tries to get us out of sync. Now, I'm hoping that we'll all get this image about sync. Not a kitchen sink, but synchronized. Synchronized. I talked about timing earlier in a definition of dance and music. Have you ever watched a couple dance? I remember watching my grandparents dance. In the old days, people danced, you know what I mean? It was a beautiful thing to watch. The grace that they floated around the floor, and my grandmother knew how to follow. That's the bride and the bridegroom in this wonderful dance. The bridegroom knows how to lead. Let's be the bride and follow him in this dance. And the only way it will look beautiful is if we are in sync with his timing. We'll be a manifestation of a beautiful thing on this earth if we will be in sync with his timing. How many have ever watched the Philharmonic or whatever? There's a wonderful orchestra. They're playing beautiful music. What would it be like when you're caught up, when you're just raptured by the guy who wrote the music and how they're performing it? And then the person gets up with a triangle and starts going ding, 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 ding. It would just like, what? Right? There's a sense of timing. But when the triangle does its thing, right when the what's the guy called? The orchestra? Conductor points at them. They do it. It just brings a euphoria to you. Amen? Timing. That's a picture of you and I as the body of Christ when we are in sync with God's timing. Don't rush out without being instructed to rush out. It's not as much of an emergency oftentimes as our minds and all these things cause us to believe. We want to be in sync with God's timing. Remember back in Genesis, God said, you're going to come into this land, but you're going to be in bondage over here because the iniquity of the Amorites isn't yet full. God didn't allow Israel to come in and possess their land. And in doing that, Israel was going to bring judgment to a nation, but they couldn't do it prematurely because the nation's iniquity wasn't yet full. Because God sees outside of our time. Israelites might have been in the wilderness going, come on, Lord, you got to come through. You got to hurry up. Come on, let's go do. I need to come into my destiny. I need to come into my promised land. Not realizing that they were going to fulfill another prophecy by being in sync with God's timing. We need to stay in sync with what God is doing, and therefore we will fulfill many things, more than just about us. It's not just about us. We're on the planet for a reason. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay. What do you do with your time? Number one, there's no better way to spend your time than to be spending it like a precious commodity. Do you value your time? Or is it just ticking away? The only way to do that wisely is to have your marching orders come directly from the top. Who do you want to hear from? How many of you, oftentimes, you wake up in the morning and your brain is just not there? Your brain is just saying, ugh, not into it. We've heard it said, I woke up on the wrong side of the bed. I want you to know, how many of you have gotten in trouble with a bad way of thinking? How many have allowed your thinking to get you into trouble? I'm saying, who am I going to follow? My brain is not trustworthy. It got me into trouble before. I want you to know that every time I've listened to God, he's never gotten me into trouble. He's always led me into life and blessing and an accomplishment, which is kind of a difficult thing to say if he's leading you to a cross or he's leading you to a machine gun, the wrong end of a machine gun. Amen? But that's still blessing. Amen? Every time I've followed God, he's led me into blessing.
Hallelujah.
How many have followed your feelings before and have been wrong? You're sure you feel a certain way and you found out you were wrong. Your feelings are not trustworthy. They come and go with all kinds of circumstances and stuff. So what we're talking about, who are you going to get your marching orders from? Go right to the top. Go right to the grand engineer. Go right to your heavenly Father who knows all, sees all. is able. How many have tried to get your marching orders from the world? Good-intentioned people. And gotten into a world of trouble. Every time you listen to what the world has to say, or what the media has to say, or good-intentioned family members, well, whoever it is, if they're not being inspired by the Holy Ghost, it's going to lead to corruption and destruction. All right, what are you doing with your time? Get ready! 2 Timothy 4:2 says, be ready in season and out. How are you going to be ready in season? Unless you're getting ready, using your time to get ready. Get ready for what? Get ready for whatever assignment God has called you to do today. Amen? Get ready. How are you going to do that? It goes back to the ingredients. Wait on the Lord. What are you doing with your time? Are you waiting on the Lord? Psalm 27:14 says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait on the Lord, I say. If you're waiting on the Lord, what can you expect? You can expect to be encouraged and a strong heart. You can expect to be strengthened in your heart, in your inner person, as you wait on the Lord. What are you doing with your time? Prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 says, rejoice in the Lord always. And verse 17, pray without ceasing. If your brain is not functioning on a task at hand, what should it be doing? If your tongue is not speaking out of the unction and the authority of the Holy Ghost, what should it be doing? Pray without ceasing. It sounds like an insurmountable task. It sounds like Mount Everest. It's not that hard. All we have to do is bring a little discipline to the outer man. And guess what? The Holy Ghost just wants to rise up in us. All the time, the Holy Ghost just wants to bubble up. All the time, the Holy Ghost just wants to be himself through us. He wants to just like use your tongue to pray for what's going on in China. He wants to use your tongue to pray what's going on in the United States. He just wants to just bubble up. It's not that hard to pray without ceasing. Because if you're not praying with your mind, how many believe there's a lot to pray about with your mind? How many can see things that you need to pray about, and you're conscious about it? But I want you to know that while I'm at work, I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm not even trying to. If my tongue isn't doing something constructive, I'm going to lend my tongue, just like Hannah lent her son to the Lord. How many want to lend your tongue to the Lord? Hallelujah! Number one, it's going to be disciplined and we're going to be intentional about what we're speaking. But how many of its tongue is just laying in the bottom of your mouth when you're not talking? What a waste of time. What a waste of a tongue. Do you know how much work your tongue can do in the off time when it's punched out? Think about it. When you're not talking, your tongue's just laying there. What a waste of time. Let your tongue do work for the kingdom. Let your tongue bring the glory of God. When you are praying in the Spirit, you're being filled with the Spirit. It's radiating out of you. It's affecting your atmosphere. It's affecting your countenance. It's affecting those around you. The Holy Spirit is using your tongue when you're not. What a good use of two gifts at once.
Hallelujah.
All right. Finally, when you don't know what to do, just do what you know. You don't wake up thinking about, oh, I got an assignment from God. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed. Whatever it is, do what you know when you know to do it. Get up in the morning, read your Bible. Get up in the morning, pray. Do the right thing no matter how you feel. It's a good use of your time. It will bring you into the right place at the right time if you will be faithful enough to do it all the time. Amen? Do it. Whether you think you got time, whether you think it's the right thing, whether you feel like it's a good... whether you feel my heart's really not in it, I don't care. I don't feel like praising Jesus, so it's just going to be a hypocritical. Do it anyway. He's worthy.
Amen.
praise Him. He's worthy of your praise. You will praise yourself into being in the right place. You'll praise yourself being into the right frame of mind and the right feelings. Do the right thing at the right time, and you'll be good all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. All right, so we're going to close, and the worship team is going to come forward, and then we can go ahead and gather the symbols of the body and blood of Jesus and take it back to your seat, and we can all eat and drink together. Amen? Father, I just pray right now that the words, Lord, about time would pierce our hearts, that we would recognize what has come out of your heart, Lord. We would embrace it, engage with it, value it, treasure it, hallelujah, protect it. And Father, we're going to trust you, Lord, to bring revelation as we meditate on these things. And that we are going to trust that we'll continue to go from glory to glory. Better bringing your image, better bringing the kingdom. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.